Good evening, everybody, in PirateRockRadio.com. This is Alan Woods, and on the telephone with me, I got Larry Lethal from FKU. In other words, Freddy Krueger's underwear. Hey, Larry, how you doing this evening?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I want to thank you very much for staying up late, calling in all the way from Stockholm, Sweden, and doing this interview. Yep. I appreciate it.
Yeah. No problem. Thank
you. First of all, I'm a big fan of y'all's. I've been listening to y'all since probably 2002, 2003, and the privilege is all mine to talk to you. It's just great to talk to somebody that I'm a fan of.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Let's talk about this new album that's coming out later on this week in Europe, the 26th of April. And it's coming out next Tuesday, the 30th of April in the United States. And it's called, let me get my right notes here. And it's called Rise of the Moshmongers, a limited edition. Yep. Tell me about this. How did y'all go about doing this CD?
Well, you know, we figured, you know, it was time to do a new album, and we... It has been 4 years since the last one, so we just thought, like, let's make, you know, the most awesome album that we can, you know. So we locked ourselves into the studio basically whole last summer just to write the damn thing, and then we recorded it in the autumn, and it's our first album on a bigger label, Napalm Records, and we're finally feeling that we get, you know, kind of the attention that we deserve. We want to bring our, you know, fusion of thrash metal and horror to, you know, to a bigger, larger audience. And I hopefully we're going to be able to do that with this album.
Yeah, I think you will too. I think with Napalm Records, which is a very big label internationally, I think they can bring you to a bigger, a broader audience.
Yeah, I hope, but that's what we hope to.
Also, on this album here, Rise of the Moshmongers, did y'all take this album in any consideration a different approach like we done your first two or three albums back in the late 90s and early 2000s?
Well, kind of, yeah, because as you go along, you kind of figure out what's important in the band, what's important with the music, and we think that we found our formula, you know, on the last album, Where Moshers Dwell. So we just thought, like, let's make, you know, an album that is better than that one, and just, you know, well, better is a kind of a, I usually don't want to say that, because it's like, you know, you have four albums, it's like you have four kids, you're going to love them all equally, right?
You're not going to
tell them that this is so much better than the other ones, but we had a different approach. We just took it a little bit more seriously. In the past, we just had it as a fun project, and we made a big deal out of recording everything really fast, you know, writing fast and recording it fast. And this time we said, let's, you know, dig a little bit deeper and just make sure the quality is top notch. You know, we don't want to be a dope band. We want to be like a band that people look at and say, man, they can play, you know. So we kind of focused
out of this
album. I think we achieved what we set out to do.
I agree. I got three of your CDs from my personal collection, plus I got this advanced copy from the label. And I can see the maturity and how you have totally changed the your way of writing on this one. This is more I ain't gonna say professional or more but it's more polished.
It is, I guess so, yeah. In a good way, though. I mean...
Yeah, in a good way.
You can't be too polished. Then it just sounds sterile. We wanted to keep the live sound going, you know?
Yeah, I can hear that. Because, I mean, me personally, I love that raw feeling of an album. I mean, nothing over-polished, over-produced. But you know, I want the element of the band, like being in my living room or in my car or something like that.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I see that and I hear that as I'm listening to this CD. One of my favorite songs off here is the title song, "Rise of the Moshmongers." That's a kick-ass song, right off the bat, you know. And I know it's not the first song on the album, but Mockalipsic Now. How do you pronounce that?
It's Moshocalypse.
Moshocalypse. There we go. Moshocalypse. Yeah. Now, that's a cool name, and I love it. It's a good intro song altogether, but that's my favorite song so far is "Rise of the Moshmongers," the title track.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first real song. We always put intros on our albums, and that's just because, you know, we totally understand that when people want to rush out, put on the album, the first song is supposed to be the first, you know, real plain song, you know. But we want to put that first on the album because always love to go on stage with the intro, you know.
Right.
We want the people to recognize this intro. When they hear the intro, you know, coming from the PA, they know that, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, it's going to fucking rock.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. I mean, you know, you got to hook them and grab them. That way they're interested in the whole album.
Oh, thank you, man. Yeah.
I got a question here with, you're fairly a new band in the United States that's getting more popular over here. Tell the listeners, my fans, what can they expect if they see you live?
Well, they can see us, you know, first and foremost, the most important thing for us is just to deliver one hell of a, you know, well-played, tight, brushing, washing machine from the stage. But we always like to add, you know, a little bit of theatrics, you know. So far, we don't, you know, really have the funds yet to do a show in the size of Iron Maiden or Kiss or whatever, but we do our best with our cost. You know, we have stage clothes and we put on dirty fucking makeup and blood and try to look as horror-ish as possible. And you know, hopefully they're gonna get their faces ripped off by our thrash. You know, that's what they're gonna get.
Yeah, I agree. I would love to see y'all live myself, and I've seen some of your videos on your YouTube channel, and they're pretty cool. What's the concept of bringing? I mean, I'm old school. Okay, I go way back when I first heard, like 73, when I first heard Black Sabbath, the first Black Sabbath album, and kind of do that horror movie theatric sound, but. What about the concept of y'all, you know, being into slasher movies like Freddy Krueger movies, and what made y'all decide to do that kind of a sound? What can we do, kind of concept horror with metal?
Well, when we started the band, we always, you know, we wanted to do something that we really, really loved, all of us. What we loved was 80s thrash metal and 80s horror movies. I mean, everything is based on the golden era, you know, the early 80s. And that's the kind of sound we don't want to copy. We don't want to be a retro band, but we want to copy that ambience, that energy, and the horror for us. We love horror movies. We just, you know, and we think that thrash and horror just goes hand in hand. It's kind of the same subculture, you know, going on. And, we just found the perfect mix for us, you know, just we can write songs based on horror films that we love, and we can use that imagery, you know, and we're really into what we do. I mean, that's, if you ask us what albums I listen to today, we're probably going to say, you know, something by Nuclear Assault. You know, that's what we live for, you know, the older era thrash metal and horror movies. That's what we're all about.
Cool. You know, I remember as a young kid when I stood up kind of late. There was an old TV show that used to be on late on Friday nights or Saturday nights on the weekend when I was about 11 years old, 12 years old, called Midnight Special, and it was a rock concert kind of thing. And that was the first time I saw Alice Cooper, and I saw that theatric of you know, the snakes, him cutting his head off, and that kind of that horror flick, you know. And that, I mean, that's what got me hooked, you know, from him, yeah. from from that horror movie type theatrics show. And of course, with Black Sabbath, of course, being that hard crunching sound. I mean, that what got me hooked. Those are the two things as a young child, a pre-teenager, that got me hooked onto rock and roll or hard rock, what it was called back then.
Yeah, I totally understand you. I mean, that's the thing for all of us. I'm 36 years old, so I got hooked on Iron Maiden just seeing on TV where Eddie walked out on stage, and I was like, holy shit. And our bass player, he's the oldest in the band. He's actually 47, and he just, you know, Kiss was his thing. When he first saw that, he's like, you're hooked for life. That's, either you love it or you hate it, and it's apparent that both you and me love it.
Yeah, I agree with your bass player. He said when he saw like Eddie of Iron Maiden. I remember seeing Eddie the first time live in concert, coming out on stage with this big old giant robot kind of figure, and he's scary as hell, man. And that was what made the concert fun, watching him.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get back on this new album that's coming out later on this week. Y'all got some special things about it, some limited edition stuff. Tell me about that. You got a limited edition 100 gold pack, I believe, or in a 200 blue gray.
I don't know the quantities, but I think there's one that is army green. That's the most limited one.
Army green. That's gonna be the 100 limited edition. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And then we have the blue color. I mean, I love that. I love that we're finally able to, you know, have a label to release multiple versions of the album. I mean, the CD is a deco pack with bonus tracks, and the LPs, the vinyls are, you know, gatefold, and, you know, you can see all the artwork in its glory. I mean, we love it. We love that there's different versions of the album. And vinyl, a lot of people is buying vinyl. The album is actually, I think, it's supposed to be out on the 26th here, but people have already got it in their mail. So I've seen pictures of the album, of the LP on the internet already. Like,
wow.
Pictures of it. I'm like, god damn, that looks awesome. You know?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to order one of these myself. I'm gonna have to personally put some money out of my pocket and buy this and have it sent to me and get the vinyl myself.
Absolutely.
Okay, and the green one, is, like I said, it's going to be limited to 200. And so all the limitations, are they going to be, is that going to be worldwide, or that's going to be per country, or what?
I mean, so far, I think the limited one, the 200 limited one, is only being sold by Napalm's web shop. So
okay.
It can be ordered from worldwide, absolutely, from anywhere in the world. But I mean, hopefully we're going to be able to get most of the versions up on some store. And I don't know where you usually buy your albums in the U.S. It is like Amazon or whatever it is. But it's going to be, most of it's going to be available there. But I think that the green one is limited just to the Napalm store.
Yeah, okay, I'm reading the website. I'm on Napalm's website right now. Yeah, it's limited strictly from Napalm itself.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. So that's where I'm going to have to get my money to. But it's still going to have to go to Europe because it's from Napalm Records European label. It's not on the American label.
No, I mean, their main office and the whole, you know, web shop business is in Austria, in Europe, so... So that's where, but I think, I mean, the blue vinyl, I think that will be shipped to the U.S. I'm not sure, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll find out either way. I mean, I'm going to shell out 14 euros, which is probably about 20 bucks American, and I'll do that and have it shipped to me, you know, after tax, you know, and shipping, probably about $23, $25 my cost. But it'd be well worth it to have something limited edition and all that good stuff.
Cool.
And plus, I got a record player too. Yeah, like I said, I'm an old fucker, so I still have a turntable.
Yeah, me too. Awesome.
Okay, cool. Also, tell us how you got any tours planned? I mean, I know you got one date like May 8th pretty soon, which is about 2 weeks away. So any plans for this, any touring this summer since it is fall festival, since it's summer festival time?
We were a little bit late to the festival season. We played most of the major festivals, at least in Sweden, last summer. So we're not doing too many festival shows in Sweden this summer. We are doing a few shows now in a couple of weeks. Just a few shows in our home country, Sweden, just to warm up, for potential tours coming up in the autumn and next year. We haven't decided on any tour plans yet. We're talking to booking agencies to see if we can organize something. We've only been in the States once before, and that was a really short trip, just 7 days in on the West Coast. So we would love to come back and tour the whole country this time.
That would be cool. And if you come to Dallas, you gotta give me a call, man. I'd love to go see y'all live.
Absolutely, that would be awesome. You'd be on the guest list, bro.
Okay, I appreciate that, man. Just make sure you get my name right, Alan Woods.
Absolutely, no problem.
And I'll be the crazy ball-headed guy, just going nuts.
That sounds awesome, man.
All right. So you'll be doing some headlining tours, but you're not going to be doing any fall festival. Tell us, how can we get a hold of this band? What's your website?
Well, the website is www.moshaholics.com. We're on the social media, we're on the Facebook, and we're on the Twitter, if you want updates from the band, check the website. We've also got our own web store where you can buy our shirt, which is, kind of important for bands today as well, for people to buy the shirt. So you can get all that on moshaholics.com.
Yeah, I'm looking at now, Moshaholics. I mean, that is a very creative, man. I like that. Moshaholics.com.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you get a lot of, since, you're all about mosh and stuff, I'm pretty sure at the live shows that the shows are probably fucking unbelievable being mosh pits, right?
Yeah, we've seen some sick mosh pits, so far. And the thing is, the smaller shows, the club shows, they are the best, because at bigger shows, security doesn't really allow you to mosh. They want you to, I can respect that. They don't want anybody to get hurt. But I really, I've been in many mosh pits myself when I was younger, and I know it's all about, taking care of each other and just having fun,
Yeah. One of the wildest things I've ever saw, I went to a small concert or a small venue, and it was Disturbed, and I can't remember who else was there, but it was a lot of people. And in the middle of the arena was a dance floor, but I used it for the mosh pit. And this one guy took some lighter fluid, and he put it in his mouth, and he took a lighter, and he blew a big old flame up in the air about 10, 12 feet. I was about four rows back from the center of that. And that was the most wildest, craziest mosh pit I've ever seen in my freaking life.
That sounds awesome.
And he got burnt. I mean, the security ran down there, put his butt out, because he caught his hair on fire, and I mean, it was just a crazy, man. I mean, I've been to some festivals now where they'll be doing some mosh pitting, and they'll be throwing fists and hitting each other hard. And I seen the band, stop and say, "Hey, no, y'all need to quit fighting and go." And they had security kick them out, of the festival.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's sick. That's stupid. I mean, you ought to have fun at the mosh pit. But like I said, the craziest thing I ever saw was that guy blow a big old fireball out of his mouth like he was Gene Simmons of Kiss or something.
That sounds both awesome and very, very dangerous.
Yeah, it was. Like I said, I was about 20, 25 feet away from him, and I still felt the flame, the heat from the flame.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was kind of sick. I thought, and he was on fire too. It was his hair caught on fire. He had to have second degree burns.
Holy shit! Well, I hope it's okay.
Yeah, that was back in 2000. That was a long time ago. All right, man. So you're on the social medias as well, you know, Twitter, Facebook, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that's important these days.
All right, that's awesome. Larry, I do want to say, before I let you go, I want to say thank you so much for taking time into calling into the show. I know it's late in Stockholm right now. It's probably
it's
past
17 hours.
It's probably past midnight or so. But
midnight.
Go ahead.
Sorry?
Go ahead. What did you say?
It's midnight now. We're in the witching hour, so yeah.
Oh, cool. So it's 5 o'clock here where I'm at in Texas.
Awesome, man. I bet you have full-blown summer right now, right?
Oh, no. Actually, we're not having summer yet. We're still in spring. Matter of fact, I'll tell you a little weather history. I know you do stuff in Celsius over there, but this April... No, we do everything in Fahrenheit, temperature-wise. This April 2013 has been the coldest month of April in probably about 15 years.
Holy shit. Oh, man. Okay.
And the last two or three weeks, there's been some mornings that we've been waking up right at freezing, 32 degrees Fahrenheit to 39. And the high's been like 55 for the days, but usually about this time, 3 or 4 weeks into April, we're into the upper 80s, lower 90s, temperature-wise Fahrenheit. And I'm still wearing long sleeve shirts and some long blue jeans still.
Yeah, I think we're kind of the same weather. I mean, I can feel that spring is, just around the corner, but we had snow like 3 weeks ago,
Wow.
But I mean, we're Sweden. We're not Texas.
Yeah. Well, Texas, we didn't have no snow this year. We very seldom, this part of Texas does get some snow, but for the last 2 years, we have not got any snow. We've had very, very quiet, very calm winters. So,
all right.
But nothing really major. Just some freezing rain and stuff. But it's been very mild just for the spring so far. But here in Texas, next month, May, June, and July, September, we're looking at 3 digits. 100, 110, 112 degrees.
Damn.
That's gonna be fucking hot.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait. I enjoy the summer. I can't wait to put my shorts on. I hate walking around in long trousers.
Yeah, so do I. I cannot stand socks and shoes and long jeans. I prefer just getting putting my shorts on, some flip flops, and just go out in some tank tops.
Exactly.
All right, Larry. I want to say thank you again for your time for this right here. And I want to thank Napalm Records. Thank the Nathan Burke from Napalm for hooking me up for this interview with Larry Lethal from Freddy Krueger's Underwear. And I got two more questions for you.
Yeah, sure.
First question. Where did y'all get... I mean, I understand your horror flicks, that you love the movies and stuff. But where did y'all come up with the idea of calling your band Freddy Krueger's Underwear?
Well, that was actually when the band first, started playing, which was in 87. And, it wasn't serious back then. It was only a few rehearsals. But the drummer came up with the name Freddy Krueger's Underwear because they wanted I wasn't in the band. Like, they didn't have a singer back then. So, but what they said was they wanted a name which was kind of like S.O.D. with three letters.
Yeah, like S.O.D. Saw with a kick-ass band, yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome. So they wanted a three-letter name band. So they came up with Freddy Krueger's Underwear because, I don't know why, but it was really funny, and that's kind of why the horror theme has stuck since then.
And my second question, or my last question, is this. A friend of mine, he sort of threw it to my attention, and I said, I want to ask it. Depends on how this interview went. But I'm going to ask it anyway. Is there much activity inside Freddy Krueger's underwear?
I sure hope not. I don't think it's as pretty as light, you know.
And when he asked me that, I said, "He goes, you ought to ask him how much activity his Freddy Krueger underwear has." I just fell out laughing. I said, "I'm going to ask him." I said, "I'm going to ask him how much activity there is."
You know, I'm sure Freddy Krueger is a very sensitive lover.
Okay, before I let you go, do you have anything you want to say to my listeners and to your fans worldwide before I let you go?
I'll do that, yes. Thank you for listening, and, you know, if you haven't checked out FKU, you know, I hope you're interested now. We're all about the flash, and we're all about the horror, and we're going to thrash your ass out.
Cool. Before, don't hang up. I'm gonna talk to you off air. But I want to say thanks again for you, Larry Lethal, for calling in. I appreciate it, and it was a pleasure to talk to you and meet you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, man. Stay here.